My job is as assistant head coach is to support Coach Jones and make sure that I'm helping him with anything that I can take off his plate. And, if it comes from organizational duties or, being on the road, we always talk about in our staff with Coach Jones that, we have a workman mentality, right? And just because your job title says defensive coordinator doesn't mean you can't run over and grab water if we're short and we need somebody to grab water. So I think the assistant head coach title is just, that next step of being prepared for what could come next down the road and continuing to work with my mentorship with Coach Jones in that area. Probably have more conversations when it comes to maybe decisions or things like that, bouncing ideas off of me. So.
You mentioned Chris Jones. You've obviously worked with him and known him for a long time. Lots of opinions about there about Chris Jones, but one thing you can't say about him is he doesn't work hard. I know he's in before the sun comes up, and he's there until the sun goes down almost every day all season long. So he obviously can use a little help, especially when he's handling the general manager duties as well.
Well, yes, exactly. And I think that like it will free him up to have even more ideas. I mean, excuse me. Even though, like, he's always been involved in every facet of the game. He's always coming up with ideas. He's, he's game planning in every facet. He's always had that multidimensional approach. But I think that, not having to be in one specific room to make sure when that comes back to his identity that, having me in place and the staff that we put on the defensive side and having the offensive side as well can free him up to, find new nuggets that can help us succeed and help us win.
When we talked to Chris, he said obviously giving up the DC role was very hard for him because he's been a DC as long as he can remember. It sounded like if he was going to give it up, you'd be the only guy he'd give it up to right now. Tell me about that transition and obviously how difficult it'll be for him and how much he's still going to be involved, because as the head coach, he's obviously involved in the defense, the offense and special teams and obviously every facet of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for him to not be as involved. I think when he says it's hard, and that's what he's trying to communicate, is that, that love of being in the flow of the game from, every other down or every other series, between offense and defense. And so I think that now his flow of the game will be more in the management phase. He'll still be very involved on defense. We're going to talk every play, so it's not like he's going to be gone. And the way that we communicate as far as in the flow on defense and stuff, I think that he's still going to be right there with me. I mean, now obviously I'll probably be leading the thought process, but as far as, hey, think about this, hey, think about that. It's like, hey, I like that, coach. Let's go with that. Boom. And he's kind of there to help me, give me nuggets on, when I'm in the heat of the moment, remind me of things that could be intricate to us, making a big play, getting a turnover, or, changing field position.
You've been a defensive coordinator, I believe, for 4 years in Saskatchewan. So you know what you're doing and you know what the job entails, but it must be pretty comforting to know that your mentor is kind of going to be right beside you as you go into this one.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can never have enough great football coaches around you, great minds, like-minded work mentalities, like-minded views. And so, we had a great relationship when, we worked together. We bounced ideas off of each other all the time. Even when I wasn't the coordinator, we still had those conversations. I was heavily involved in preparation, game flow, game decisions with him. So I think it's just going to be a smooth transition when it comes to that.
You, I believe, started coaching with Chris for the first time in 2013 in Toronto. What was your relationship like before that? When did you first meet him, and how did tell me about your relationship with him and how you guys kind of clicked, it seemed, right off the bat?
Yeah, well, we met through Jim Barker. Saw Jim and, was inquiring about maybe a QC job or getting into football in general. And then I met Scott Milanovich. And then from there, I talked with Coach Jones. Coach Jones had to approve it. We had a good talk about football. And it was kind of basically like, he asked me a couple questions. He, what time could you be in? How many hours can you put into it? He told me also that the job wasn't going to pay anything. And I said, that's okay. You know, I'll be there. He's like, we'll be here 6 in the morning. I said, okay, boom. And then from there, I think we both have that work mentality. We're not afraid of work. We love football. I think we see the game analytically from the same way. And then, you know, we've grown together from 2013 to even when we got to Saskatchewan, 2016, 17. I mean, we spent a lot of time together. So we are family. We're, you know, I can finish some of his sentences sometimes when it comes to football or something is going wrong, or he can finish my sentence, you know, and he knows what I'm thinking. So I think that just really made it easy for us to mesh. And then the amount of hours we put in, and it was my job to learn what was in his head, you know, and that's how I kind of approached the role, not, you know, coming in with my own thoughts. I said, you know, I just want to learn everything, how he sees the game, how he teaches the game. And then from there, that gave me a good foundation to add with all my years of playing. And then kind of now I've developed how I call a game or how I see the game, which is still closely connected to him. It's just in my view.
You mentioned playing the game. You had some time in the NFL. Then you came to the CFL and played Hamilton and Toronto. At what point in your playing career did you know you wanted to coach and felt that that was going to be the next step?
Well, I was one of those players, you know, I was going all out. I burnt the ships. There was nothing else in the view but playing football. And that was kind of the way that I had came up. And I always just, you know, kept that mentality even as a player. So coaching came natural when I talked to some of my high school coaches. Looking back on it, when they heard that I moved into coaching, they said, oh, that's going to be a natural thing for you. You've always been a coach, you know. And so for me, I was just trying to be a leader. You know, I was just trying to be the best teammate that I could be. And that all kind of came together when, you know, in 2013, when I got with Coach Jones. But never thought about being a coach. But once I got into it, I love it. It's not work. It's a joy to be around the guys and mentor them and, you know, help younger guys come along, help older guys go through the transition. And that's something that I've tried to pass down to players now ever since I've been in coaching.
You touched on a few things as a coach. I think obviously the most important thing as a coach is to win games, and that's what everybody wants. But what are the other things that excite you and make you feel like, yeah, I'm doing a good job here when you talk about working with players?
Well, I think I get the most joy out of seeing the unit execute on a one play, you know, and execute it to perfection, right? It's almost like artwork for me. It's beautiful. And then obviously overall, when we can string those things together and get it going over and over and over again, you know, when we can hit that maximum, operational success, that's where I get my most elation from, you know, as a coach and watching it on the field. And then also, you know, when you get a young player who, you know, comes in who may lack a little confidence or who may have too much confidence, but then just getting them in that equilibrium where they can really be a good player and contribute to the team. And to see them, you know, have that success really does bring a lot of joy to me.
All right. You were announced, the coaching staff was announced a couple of weeks ago. I'm pretty safe to say that you knew long before then that you were coming to Edmonton and becoming a member of the Edmonton Elks coaching staff. So, when you got the job, whenever that was in the offseason, what's the first thing you do? How did you dig into becoming the defensive coordinator of the Edmonton Elks? I'm going to guess first thing you did was go to the video, right?
Definitely go to the video, watch what's going on, watch the players that are returning that are on the roster, watch just the games in general so that, you know, because in the CFL, it is a small league, and we all keep eye on everybody and what's going on, even though we're paying most attention to ourselves. But, yes, definitely just watching some of the games, some of the cliffhangers that they had last year, you know, having a lead, you know, seeing them cause turnovers, and then, you know, seeing some of the games where, you know, they just couldn't finish it. And so, but, you know, that's kind of where I started to dive in. And then the next thing is to go into the playbook, you know, and start revitalizing the playbook, you know, adding some things that, you know, I want to bring to the table, figuring out our plan for training camp, getting with the offensive staff, trying to align, you know, how we're going to practice, you know, what do we need to do to succeed, you know, what can we do more of, and, you know, how can we work better and create those synergies that the players then can feed off of.
All right, what's a player's adjustment going to be going from Chris Jones's defense to Jason Shivers' defense this year? How difficult will that be for players?
It's going to be easy. No problem. Like, I mean, the terms, a lot of the terms from the fronts to the blitzes are all the same, you know, but the teaching aspect will probably be different. You know, the preparation that we're going to bring into it as far as pre-practice and walkthrough, we want to try to do some different things there where, not saying that it wasn't working for them before. I thought they made some turnovers. They played some hard-nosed defense. It just was inconsistent. And so my job is to just come in, meet them where they're at, right? And then also take them to another level.
Describe the kind of defense you want to see.
I want to see aggressive balls to the wall, take away and, you know, put points on the board and change field position, aggressive defense. So flying around and hitting people, you know, stopping people, not letting them score. You know, we want to just come out the gate and be aggressive. And that's the kind of mindset that we're going to instill. And then as we get going, we will adjust. You know, as I see and Coach Jones sees, you know, we see the players and how it all fits together, how he wants to shape the team, you know, who stays and who goes. And then, you know, we go from there. But at the end of the day, you got to be aggressive. You got to fly. You got to have maximum effort to the football. You got to populate the football, lots of hats. And then we got to take the ball away and we got to keep people from scoring.
All right, I'm going to ask you the question that when I talk with Elks fans, it's about the defense. The question I get asked the most is, where are the sacks going to come from? You had 24 go out the door in AC Leonard and Jake Ceresna. Talk about replacing those 24 sacks.
Well, that's going to be an interesting thing this year, but every year you have some new theme that you have to address. And, you know, those guys, you know, put up a lot of production. And I think that Coach Jones has really dug in. G. Roy have dug in and really did a good job as far as bringing in some new talent in the pipeline, some former NFL guys. We got some younger guys that are just out of college. So we got a mix and match. And then we also have some guys that were, you know, role players last year that we're looking forward to stepping up, you know, like Elliot Brown, right? So that's some of the guys there. I'm not going to go too far into some of the names, but I think that coach has really stacked up the cupboards, and it's going to be an interesting training camp as far as the D line is concerned.
You mentioned one name that I'm interested in and excited to see play, and that's Elliot Brown, who played a few games and got hurt and never seemed to get back. I thought he was pretty good in the few games he played, but after he got hurt, he just didn't seem to get into a groove. So I'm looking forward to seeing him through a training camp and to stay healthy. It appears he's got some potential.
Definitely. I think he has a lot of athleticism. He can play off the ball. He can play on the ball. He can drop. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, putting him in the best position to ball out and play and, you know, replace that production to AC Leonard that we may have lost to AC Leonard.
You mentioned the NFL pedigree. That's Robert Kimdichie. Tell me about your interest in him and how difficult is it for a guy who has that NFL history to come and adjust to playing in the Canadian Football League where things are different for D linemen?
That's true. But I think he's been working at it. We've had some conversations. He has the right mentality. He wants to win. He wants to get after the football. He wants to get after the person across from him. And at the end of the day, those are the same things that you need in the NFL. You need that in the CFL. You need that in football, no matter if it's Pop Warner or college. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for him. I think the biggest thing for a guy like him coming up from the NFL is that conditioning. And that's the thing I've been talking to him about, and the pace of the game and how fast. And, you know, for the bigger guys, you know, if they have to stay on the field for like if a team offense gets a drive going and it's, you know, four plays in a row, we got to get them out of there, right? So we're going to heavily rotate. We want our guys to stay fresh, but sometimes, you know, the tempo doesn't allow for them to get out the game. So we need them to have that, you know, six play mentality and give us everything they got.
Have you reached out to a lot of guys? Have you spent time talking to a lot of your key guys on defense? And what's the reaction been to the change and anything that you want to change with the way the defense plays?
Yeah, I've reached out to a number of guys already, and it's been very receptive. It's almost, again, if you look at it like family, you know, the Elks, when they came to town, they knew, like, okay, you know, Shives is across the way. That's Coach Jones' guy, you know. So it's kind of like I'm a cousin, you know, and it's like now we all get to work together. So the energy's been great, the reception has been great. Everybody's fired up, everybody's saying the same thing. Let's turn this thing around. Let's take it day by day, you know. And I'm telling a lot of the guys, I say, hey, you know, my mantra is win is now, and WIN is now. So in order to win, you have to be in the moment. You have to win every day. And I told them that's all we need to do. Just stick with it, you know, take it day by day and keep our focus right. Keep the positivity, especially when the downs come, when the down times come, right? You know, how are we going to handle adversity? It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. And I think that's the biggest thing that I want to bring to the guys. And so that when we see adversity for the first time, we can actually turn that corner. And I think once we do that, the sky's the limit for the Edmonton Elks.
You watched in Saskatchewan last year. You obviously watched the league and you watched what happened in Edmonton last year. Now you've dived into the tape and watched the games and kind of got a better understanding of what happens. Give me your take maybe from last year and what you've learned now about this team and a 4-14 season that, in my mind, turned real early in the year. And if a few things had gone differently, whether it be getting the ball in from the one against the Riders, kudos on that, by the way, I guess, getting the ball in from the 1 yard line on three cracks, a drop pass here and there, or a missed pass here and there. There's a lot of things that if they had fallen the other way, might not have been 4-14. I'm not saying they would have been 14-4, but I don't know if they were as bad as their record would indicate.
Yeah, I've said that a number of times on interviews. And then obviously, you know, going against the team last year, you know, you did, it was a team that you were like, okay, you know, our guys got to show up, and you had to stress that all week. Like, you know, don't get caught up in the record. They're going to play us hard, obviously, just because of the coaching rivalry that existed there, but then also the West rivalry that exists on the West of the CFL. But overall, I think the team is, it was very close, and I think we have made some great additions. You know, with the quarterback play, you know, with McLeod coming on, and then, I mean, you can't sleep on Ford. So having that 1-2 punch there is, you know, that makes us feel really good because we got depth at quarterback. We saw what he could do. And I think that now just having that fresh start where everybody can be pushing in the right direction right out the gate. And we can do some really great things. The team is very strong. We have a lot of great talent running back, you know, offensive linemen. We signed a lot of those guys back, you know, D-line, D-tackles, we have those guys coming back, you know. So we have a lot of guys that endure through that 4-14 season. And it's, for me, it's kind of eerily similar to when I came with Coach Jones in 14. And it was kind of that same thing, you know, that a lot of those guys, a core group was coming back, and they were good guys. They had good, great character. They wanted to work hard. And they, at the end of the day, they wanted to win, and they wanted to do anything to win. That meant putting in extra hours in the weight room. That meant putting extra hours in the film room. But also, I think it meant coming together and having that bond of bone, so that, you know, we can go out on the field and we can rely on each other. And that's what's going to show up, I think.
You weren't here with Edmonton in 2013 when they went 4-14, but the guys who were on that team, they enjoyed 2015 and that party in Winnipeg a lot more than everybody else did because they saw where they were and were you know they got to where they wanted to go. They climbed the mountain.
That's right. And a lot of guys got their first championship that year when we won it in 15. And, you know, like I said, those guys had, they had championship work ethic. So it wasn't the work ethic. And, you know, I think we were all together, not only from the front office to the coaching staff, was very united all the way down to the players. And I think if you have that going on, you know, the main thing that we talk about all the time is getting to the dance. And so we can get in the playoffs, and then everything from there, it's a new season. Everybody's chips is on the table, and then we go from there. So I think I really feel good about our team. I feel good about our coaching staff, feel good about our organization, even though we're going through the sale. It's the 75th anniversary, so we got a lot of things to be excited about, and, you know, go out there and play football and put on an exciting game for our fans.
What's the line for you as you walk it now? We're what, I don't know, 5, 6 weeks away from training camp, of things you have to get done to wanting to get to training camp and get it started.
It's just very minimal things now that we really dug in hard, me and the staff, and we really started to prepare from January, February. And so now, we're kind of just fine-tuning, revisiting things, making sure, hey, do we want to make any tweaks here? Does it look good? And then but yeah, the I woke up the other morning with the butterflies of, is it camp yet? I can't wait to get started, and fly around and see the guys fly around. Have our meetings, but the main thing is just get it back on the grass and put a football out there and let's play ball.
Start writing the book for 2024.
That's right.
You spent 7 years coaching in Saskatchewan, so you must have spent some time with Jim Hobson, who passed away earlier this week. A guy who played for the Riders. He was the first full-time president for the Riders, and really was a huge symbol for that franchise. Tell me about your memories of Jim Hobson and how important he was to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Canadian Football League.
Oh, definitely one of the giants in the game, to play president, general manager, all of that comes through with that. And led them through some tough times there in Saskatchewan as well. And he when you talk to him, such to be such a big person, a big personality, to when I actually really got to just talk to him. He just simplified things. He kept things simple. He was tough-nosed. He didn't overcomplicate things. He talked about treating people fair, treating people right. So those are some of the biggest lessons that I took from him, was that, he was a very humble man. He wasn't boastful, anything like that. And yeah, the league lost a very giant figure. And I think that guys like myself and other coaches that you see now, the Michael Shays of the world, and the Orlando Steinhauers of the world, I think that he set a great bar for us to try to reach and to continue for the league, so that future players will have the opportunities that we've been afforded to coach, general be managers, or and just players, and be able to take care of our families.
Did you have much interaction with him in your time in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I did. Passing time. Sometimes he would come to practice early on before he got really sick. Training camp, he would come out, and then in the old stadium, he would be popping in and out. So before we got to the new stadium, and but yeah, like I said, I didn't want to be too much of a pest. I just tried to keep my questions to a minimum, try to get a couple nuggets, and then he was always very insightful when he did talk to you. He wasn't just passing by and like giving you a quick answer. He would take time, sit there and talk with you. So, no, it was good. It was same with George Reed as well, right? Those guys are mountains of humans. So, when you talk to them, you don't want to take too much of their time. You just try to get right to the point and, take whatever knowledge they could give you and shake their hand and just also show respect for everything that they've done.
Great stuff. Jason Shivers, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today. The weather's turning here in Edmonton. I know you're in Arizona and it's been sunshiny all winter, but we're turning here, so it's getting close to football weather. So look forward to getting you up here and seeing you in person. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I'll bring the sun with me. I'll pack it up.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think French fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.